The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept. Yes.
You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Life is wired backward, and I have to wonder. Well, I don't have to wonder because he's omniscient. He knows. God knew exactly what he's doing. When you're a preschooler, what do you fight doing? Well, you fight going to bed, and you fight eating. Now, as a preschooler, you can sleep all you want. Nobody's going to say, get up, you got to go to work. And you can pretty much eat what you want. You're not going to gain weight. But you don't. You don't want to eat that stuff. You don't want to go to bed. You don't want to take naps. When you become a grown-up, what do you want to do? Sure would like to eat what I want. Sure would like to not have to watch as closely as I do. And wouldn't a nap be great? And I could go to bed at 8 o'clock and get up when I want. And you can't. And you have to live with the reality that so many years ago, you let it all slip by. You had the chance. You had the chance to eat and sleep all you wanted with no real repercussions. And you blew it. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I am Dr. Ray Guarendi. Hopefully no naps during this program. I do a little bit during the breaks, but they're not long enough. I've been negotiating for longer breaks. The number to get on to the air, because you are the guests. You don't have to have a book. You don't have to have a compelling life story, although that would be good if you did. You just call. And our call screening process is really, it's not even a screen. It's kind of a gaping hole. You pretty much get on the air, unless you're totally inappropriate or you have a terrible phone or you're insulting to me. But what I've noticed is that people who are insulting to me get put to the front of the line. They put on this computer screen here, emergency call, must take. So I'm thinking, oh, man, I better pick that call up. And then it's somebody that rips into me. So I think there's a cabal, a little coup back there in Ann Arbor. I can't prove it. This morning I was at the office. This afternoon I'll be at the office because I'm a psychologist. That's what I do. However, on the radio here, we talk. You know, hopefully I can give you a few ideas, a few thoughts. Pretty much anything anybody calls about, I've had experience with many, many times. Sometimes hundreds of times. Perhaps even thousands of times. But that is not to say that the thoughts I give you are useful. It might be. And that is not to say that you implement them, all will be well. But we hope to just give you a nudge or something in the right direction, if we can. So the number, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Now, I've been on a string of monologues, pretty much dealing with broader matters of life, adult stuff. Been a while since I've done a kid one. I want to do a kid one. When I was in grad school and pretty much through my early years of being a shrink, the important thing from what I read, from what I was taught, give parents techniques, give them strategies. Things they can do that will work. That's what does it. The better the strategy, the better the technique, the better the cooperation from the child. That was the pretty straightforward formula. And even to this day, when most people will talk to me about a problem in their home, some kind of discipline matter, it's give me the technique, give me the formula, give me the strategy. Not to trivialize those, because Yes, they are, I don't want to say weapons, that's a bad word. Tools. They are tools to help you bring a child under better cooperative control. But we have lost sight of something that I think has, if you have it, then you really don't have to have the very best of techniques. Matter of fact, if you have it, now this is going to sound funny, you can be inconsistent. Huh? Dr. Ray, what are you talking about? Consistency, everybody knows that's discipline 101. Let me explain. How do you get a child to perceive? Now, even I slip into it. Did you notice what I just said? How? How implies technique. How-to books. They all want titles that say, here's how to do it. Here's how to quit smoking. How to lose weight. Here's the strategies. Here's the techniques. So what is helpful to you, let me put it that way, to gain a particular perception? I think perception is really critical to discipline control. Does the child perceive you as meaning what you say? Does the child perceive you as having authority? Let me give you a very straightforward example. Teachers don't have authority. They really don't. Not compared to a parent. A parent has authority 10 times what a teacher does. There are relatively few things a teacher can do to enforce discipline. But yet, the majority of kids are better behaved for their teacher than they are for their parents. Now, there are other factors involved. I don't want to get into all those. The whole security factor, the whole love factor, the whole familiarity factor. I got all that. But a big factor is perception. That kid, that little kindergartner, who gives you such grief about everything, is the most wonderful child at school. The teacher just wishes she had a whole classroom full of him. How is this? It's in your child's perception. That teacher doesn't have your authority. If you want to consider authority in terms of leverage, in terms of wide range of consequences that they could put on a behavior. That teacher can't make them stand in a corner. Are you kidding me? They can't do that in a classroom. They'd be run out of the school district if they did that. That teacher can't make them go to bed early. That teacher can't take away their favorite toy. That teacher can't make them write sentences. That teacher can't take away swimming. Teacher can't do anything. Teacher's got a few things she can do, he can do in the classroom. That's about it. So why is that kid so much better behaved? And furthermore, it makes it even more understanding because that kid is in there for 5 hours and sitting for 5 hours. Can you get the kid to do that? So what is it? It's perception. That child believes that teacher has authority. So therefore, he doesn't test it. If they don't see that you have authority, that you're willing to act, that you're willing to do what you need to do quietly, calmly, and firmly, with no doubt, to build that perception, you don't have to discipline anywhere near as much. The perception is that mom will do what she says. Mom will ask me nicely, and then, if she needs to, she'll back it up with a consequence. That's what mom will do. That's what mom does. I know my mom. That's my perception of mom. It's been locked in since I was 2. That's the difference. If they don't perceive you as having authority, and I have a lot of ways I test parents' perception when they come in my office. If they don't perceive that, then I don't care how good your techniques are. They're going to be challenged. They're going to be defied, argued with, negotiated with, reacted nastily to. Perception is as important. The perception on the part of the child is as important as your technique. I'm Dr. Ray.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Relax. The doctor is in. For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org. It's Dr. Ray Guarendi. I thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. The number to get onto the program, 877-573-7825, 877-57-equal. Got a call from Anonymous, and I think he's lied about the state, too. Hi, Anonymous. How are you?
Yeah, is this Dr. Ron Garundo?
Ron Garundo, yes. Roy Gannutti.
Dr. Ray.
How are you?
That's even better. That's better. Hey, Dr. Ray, love the show. Listen at work. Question for you. My kids attend a summer camp. It's a great camp, a week-long science camp all day. They've gone for 2 years. Great director, great program. We really like it. This year, the director is the same, though the director is not the same. So the same director for 3 years, but this year the director has transitioned. And now we'll be presenting as the other gender. I guess I was curious on your take about something like that, and when, if, and how to approach that with the kids. We're inclined to send her. She's a fairly mature 11-and-a-half-year-old. We think it's a great camp. I don't want to just knee-jerk and turn away because it's something we're going to have to confront anyway. And I thought maybe this call would also be helpful to others who find themselves in a similar situation.
It's your decision.
In other words,
there's nothing written that says, okay, here's what you do. Now, the culture would say, in other words, maybe not the majority culture, but the opinion shapers of the culture would say, absolutely not. If you pull your daughter from that camp, you are being prejudiced. You are not recognizing somebody's choices in life, somebody's legitimate choices. That is phobic. Now, that's what the culture would say. But I think the culture also has to recognize that if certain people have certain moral perspectives, they are allowed to have those perspectives. So if you say, this would be very confusing in my daughter, at this point, I don't want to answer these questions yet. I don't know if she's ready for them. Well, that's your prerogative as a parent. If you say, no, I think she'll handle it, and I'll talk with her about it. We'll see what's going to go on with it. Then, okay, your parental decision.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah,
I would. I would talk to her before she goes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we were playing. I mean, that was our instinct was kind of just to talk to her, and generally, predicated on our understanding of gender, and the sort of church directed understanding of gender and human sexuality, and yet still, you know, it may not faze her much. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. So.
Well, she's going to get the cultural view if she goes to school. That's a given.
Right. She is homeschooled, by the way.
Okay,
so.
She's homeschooled. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure she's going to not understand it. She's going to have many questions about this. How can a person think this way? How can a person do this? What does it mean? Was there genetic confusion, Dad? What is behind all this? And I think you can explain all that to her, and you'll get a judgment before she goes. If she says, "You know, Dad, I can deal with this. I don't necessarily understand it, or morally I'm on the same wavelength, but I'm fine. I'm going for the science, and that'll be it." And you might want to tell her that.
Go ahead.
You might want to tell her that. Who's the host here now? Come on. All right.
Go ahead,
you,
Dr.
You go first. As the power invested in me as a host, I invite you, please go first.
Okay, but hold your thought. So I just was wondering if it was incumbent upon the program to notify the families who have been attending for a number of years under this director, because I could imagine some would show up and potentially be in for a surprise, I suppose, when the kids come home and have something to say.
If I were to guess, I would say that the program will not do that.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
The program will be of the mindset that says, this is irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Yeah. And anybody that would think it would be a problem is a narrow-minded Neanderthal throwback. I think that's how the program would look at it. Even if they said, well, we are aware that there are parents who have morals and world perceptions that would potentially create some confusion for their kids, we're still not going to tell them. Because by telling them, we are automatically acknowledging their right to have a certain moral system, and we don't want to do that because that moral system is not allowed. I really think that's the way it will be.
Yeah, well, it's fair take on it. I mean, you know, it's just troubling that this is where we're at, and that I even have to consider
this. I think
this
more research will catch up to the transgender movement. There is already some research already, and it got squashed, but I think more of it will come out and point out there are other variables involved in what seems to be an explosion of transgender identity issues. The thought I was going to give you was this. My guess would be that your daughter will be a minority in thinking if anything comes up among the kids. And as long as she's aware of that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I kind of think in the end it's not going to matter. They're going to be having so much fun with the actual content of the course like they've done in the last couple of years that it really wouldn't be much topic of conversation.
One other thing you might be aware of, and maybe you could have your daughter let you know this. If the person simply does not take it upon himself, herself, to say, let me tell you why, and let me tell you why it's good, and let me tell you why I'm doing this, and you need to be open-minded about this. If they use that as a chance to talk about and preach their own particular perspective beyond the whole science camp matter. then I think you got a problem.
Yeah, my wife and I have actually already talked about that exact very issue and had thought about how to deal with that, including maybe attending the first session ourselves, one of us, or talking to the camp ahead of time. But anyway, well, thanks, Dr. Anwin.
Okay, buddy.
Time. Love the
Appreciate
show.
It. Thank Super. You. See you. Jen, Cincinnati, Ohio, which is interesting because my son was born with a cleft lip and palate, and he had, oh gosh, how many surgeries when he was little, and his last one was at age 10. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Thank you for the call.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. So my daughter is 6, and we might be a year away from getting back into the procedures, but now that she's old enough to understand what's going on and be afraid, and I don't know how her dad and I should prepare her and talk to her about what's going to be coming up.
Well, first of all, does she know anything is coming up?
Well, so every year we have a meeting with a cleft team, and we just had our meeting a few weeks ago, and she's there for that, and all of the audiologist comes, and the oral surgeon, and orthodontist, and she's a part of those meetings, and they're all, so we've been open with her. She's seen her baby pictures and understands that she was born with, you know, her lip was split, and that's why she has scars, and she's able to answer questions about that, so she knows how she's gotten to where she is. She doesn't understand what's going to be coming in the future.
Good. Now, you said a bilateral cleft, right? So her palate is open.
Well, it's been repaired. She had both the lip and the palate.
Are they talking a pharyngeal flap?
Well, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
We're going to have to do some orthodontic work with, like, a palate expander first.
Yeah, we had
and
all
then
that.
The bone graft from, like, the hip bone graft to repair.
She doesn't need to know all the nitty-gritty. And you probably prepare her as you're getting close to it. If she says, Mommy, when are you going to do that? You say, well, we don't know, honey, but I can tell you one thing for sure. You're going to feel really good about how they fix you up. You focus on the fact that this is all going to help her. It's all going to fix it up. Focus on that. Well, does it hurt, Mommy? Well, most of the time you'll be asleep, so you really won't even know. That's the cool part of it, you know. And afterwards, you'll probably be a little sore. You know, you got to just, you don't have to say, you know, yeah, it's really rough. It's a tough thing now. You're going to have to, buck up here. No. You don't do that. My son had his last operation when he was 26?
Yeah.
Because what was happening was sometimes there is a certain amount of constriction in the palate and there's air leakage and you start to get the nasal sound in the voice. And so what they do is that even though the bone graft was done, the pharyngeal flap was something that they do. You know, interesting, Jen, and I think I would emphasize this to your little girl. I say, you know what, sweetheart? We got to thank God that we have people that can fix all this. This is so wonderful that God has allowed us to get to the point where we can fix this. You know, honey, for most of the time when people long ago used to have something like this, they couldn't fix it. They couldn't fix it at all. And the people couldn't talk and they had all kinds of trouble eating and many people didn't even want to be around them. But now look at this. Isn't this wonderful? You're already getting all fixed up? Sure. I would focus on that, and I would not start preparing her a year out. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And if she's fretting about it, like my son did, you say, well, you know, honey, that's way off, and we're going to be with you every step of the way. It's not going to hurt like you might think.
Okay.
All right, sweetie. Thank you.
She was asking a lot of questions after the appointment, and it's kind of died down now, but she's very bright and observant about everything, and so I just was like, how do we navigate this now that she's old enough to ask these kinds of questions?
Nice.
So I really appreciate your input.
Nice, short, distinct answers, but you don't need to go into all kinds of nitty-gritty detail. That'll just get her to focus too much. Little six-year-olds have a way of moving on with life very quickly. So I think you were right when you observed that, yeah, it's kind of died down already. Thanks, Jen.
Christianity is not inherently pacifist. The Hebrew word for kill, as in thou shalt not kill, is ratzash, which means murder. Our Lord himself compares the military chain of command with the faith of the centurion, whom he praises, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. The Catechism of the Catholic Church lays down the conditions for a just war, starting in number 2308. In Luke 14:31, the Prince of Peace tells a parable in which a king is advised to make sure he's ready before taking on a larger army. In Luke 22:16, he tells his apostles, in effect, to bear arms. He says, "Let him who has no sword sell his mantle and buy one." And who's more peaceful than Jesus? Let's pray for our military men and women overseas and for our brave law enforcement professionals here at home. This is Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the wisdom of God, and so we try to develop the mind of Christ, whether we're looking at the bioethics of gene editing, immigration in the United States, abortion at the Supreme Court, or movies in Hollywood. So join me as we look at the news of the world through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, this afternoon, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Trained to connect with minds, able to connect across vast distances, over mountain range, through valleys. But I am not comfortable with psychobabble. I can't go with that. So I'm not sure I can hear where you're coming from, but I'm okay. You're okay. Your kid could be a brat. Dr. Ray, thank you for joining me here. By the way, good Lord permitting, we got the National Immaculate Heart of Mary Conference down in Fredericksburg, Virginia, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, which means we can't use this program anymore in a future program, because right away, quick, if we rerun it sometime months down the road, they're going to say, when is that conference? Wait a minute. I went there and there was nobody there. But right now, Friday, Saturday, if you go to the Immaculate Heart of Mary Conference website, I'll be speaking like four times there. I don't even know enough to speak four times. What I usually do is the second talk, I'll say, did I say that in the first talk? Well, let me say it again, just in case you forgot. Okay. Well, how many of you were at the second talk? Oh, just two of you? Okay, well, then you don't mind if I just repeat it, do you? Pam from Rapid City, South Dakota. Rapid City, gateway to the Black Hills. Hi, Pam.
Yes. Good afternoon. Hi. Thank you for taking my call here.
I didn't. Melissa did.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Melissa.
There you go. Well, you have a friend. It's interesting. Well, you use the word friend to describe this very negative, monopolizing person. Still a friend?
Oh, yes. I consider her a friend because she's one of our group.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. So what is happening with this person in your social group?
Well, she's had a number of illnesses and surgeries recently, but whether she has had them or not, she is very negative and talks to minutia about every little thing that's wrong with her. And I know she's had a lot of difficulties this past year with several surgeries. But she monopolizes the conversation and is very negative about everything. So,
is this an informal friend group, or I notice up here it says support group. Is it some kind of group at church?
Well, no, it's kind of a diagnosis group that we all have the same diagnosis. And she sometimes comes. We do a monthly lunch where we go out just to socialize with each other, and some of us go to a regular exercise group. She does not do that. She used to when it was yoga, but she hasn't done that for a long time because she's been sick. So, but anyway, she monopolizes and is very negative and with the conversation. And when we've had a change in our lunch dates to another place, it was like, are we going to invite her or not? Are we going to tell her about it or not? We all decided we would, yes, we would tell her she's a part of the group.
You're being very kind.
Well, I call her up and talk to her, and I don't listen to everything, but I can just put the phone down several times and let her go on and on.
Put the phone down to go mow the backyard. Yeah, re-roof the house.
Yes, just about that.
Read
yes.
War and Peace.
I was just wondering if you had a simple little sentence. The last time we talked, I said, oh, well, good. All your surgeries are done. This is all over. What are you going to do next that you'd like to do for yourself? How about if you get another dog? Because she used to be used to show dogs. And so I thought, well, maybe you should have another dog, you know?
And yeah, so but then, because then she'd tell you about her dog surgeries. You know what I mean?
She'd tell you.
Yeah. I would suggest, well, first of all, it's not rude to find a way to cut somebody off. It's not rude. We have to do that sometimes on this program, on this radio show. We can't. Some folks, not a lot, but some will call in and just monopolize, and you have to stop them because they just will go on and on and on with almost no realization that they're going on and on and on and on. You can do that in the social setting. You can sit and listen, but in a radio setting or even your support group setting, there are other people there who would also like to share, would also like some help. That's what they're there for. Now, you said something interesting. You said this is a group of folks with diagnoses. What kind of diagnoses?
Multiple sclerosis.
Okay, physical diagnoses then. All right.
Yeah, physical.
Okay.
Need.
I see, my instinctively, being a shrink, I instinctively went toward psychiatric diagnoses. I should have.
Well, that's what shrinks do, I guess.
Okay. I would probably say, when she continues on and on and on and on, and by the way, there is research now that indicates they used to think that MS strictly affected motor functioning. Well, you're probably more aware of this than I am in terms of the research, because you're probably up on it more than I am. But you know as well as I do, it can also affect cognitive functioning, the brain, right?
Oh, yes, it definitely does. And for her, I think that because of her illnesses, and she had a gigantic infection and spent some time in a nursing home to rehab. You know, she herself says that, you know, she just isn't not always thinking right.
Right. And so maybe she's just simply not aware. Not aware how she's coming across. Not fully aware how she's coming across. What I would do. Okay, well, that's probably more exaggerated now because she's got more things to talk about personally. I would say, if you can get an opening in between a couple sentences, I would say, well, is somebody willing to give, let's call her Janet. Somebody willing to give Janet a suggestion on how to deal with this? Redirect the conversation to another person so that she may not stop, but that she was more likely to stop her ongoing verbiage for another person. So say, for example, she's saying, well, so then the doctor came in and the doctor said, and I was so frustrated. And at that point you can say, Sarah, would you had that same experience. Would you tell Janet what you did with your frustration? Something like that. Next time you guys all go out to lunch, strategize on who is going to be able to step in and redirect that conversation, because obviously it's not right to let her go on and on and on and on and on. Now, some people would say, no, Christians, we just got to accept whatever they're going to do. No, you don't. No, you don't. There's other people in that group that need support. There are other folks in that group that would love to talk about the situations they're dealing with and would like to get feedback. And if she's doing 82% of the words in that group, that's not fair to the other folks.
Well, so, you know, when we go out, it's like a lunch, and you're like sitting close to three or four people, and the table is a little longer, and so those four or five people at the other end of the table don't get in that. So it's sort of the, who's going to sit by this person this time.
Who's going to just sit and listen?
Well, you've got, you know, you've got two or three people who are within hearing distance. Sometimes we're out in a restaurant. Sometimes we're at another facility where people can talk.
I think sometimes you might be well within your rights to say we're going to have a little separate luncheon beyond that one. That's the one she was invited to, but some of us want to go out to lunch and enjoy each other's company without being dominated. You can do that. You're not excluding her. You're just adding another lunch.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
I've been a priest for 31 years. It's a call to a total gift to Christ. It's a total gift of one's life to be conformed to Christ. You know, and that's why I felt it when I was a young guy and I was kind of getting into religion and understanding it more deeply intellectually. It just began to hit me with a great clarity that if this is true, if God is real and God is a supreme good, well, why wouldn't I give my whole self to God? Why would I get distracted by anything else, you know? Now, again, I'm not saying that should be true for every single person on the planet. That's the way it hit me when I was a young guy, was I want to give as much as I can, my whole self, to Christ. So there's something heroic about that, where you do eschew a lot of things. You say no to a lot of things so you can say massively yes to Christ and to his demand. I think that's a heroic quality of it.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you so much for joining me on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, co-production, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, as well as Ave Maria Radio Productions. My producer man, Andrew Kruczek, there in Ann Arbor, with the lovely and gracious and talented and sweet Melissa. We gave Eric Dumont the boot today anyway. Bring in some sensitivity, some communication, some connecting empathy through Melissa, since I'm falling pretty short on that. I want to talk a little more before. Let me give you the number so you can get on the air here. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. We got, looks like we got about 15 minutes left of the program here, so come on. What do you do about someone who just rambles? You know people like that in your life. They are completely unaware that they're conversation killers. On and on and on. And you avoid them. You know it. You tend to avoid them. Now, I'm a conversation killer on this program because I have to do it. That's what the program's about. But in day-to-day interaction, there's a certain give and take that makes conversations pleasant. And some people, sadly, don't even have a sense that they're just completely dominating and shutting off any other kind of conversation. Now, what do you do? Well, sometimes you just stare and listen and let them go on and on and on and on and on. Other times you interrupt. Other times you find some excuse, don't you? If you're at a party or something and you want to interact with other folks, find an excuse. Get away. Hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Well, this is the seventh time you've gone to the bathroom since I've been talking to you. Yeah, I know. It's coffee. It's coffee. Okay, let's go back to the calls here. Marty. Marty's not ready? All right. She's still talking to Marty? Well, I could go. Well, I want to grab Marty first here. See, that's the problem. Melissa is call screaming. Melissa's spending more time with the callers than I do. You know that? Marty called 27 minutes ago, and Melissa is finally getting off the phone with him. Melissa, come on. We're going to get you your own show. That's how it happened. I started out as a call screamer. Marty's calling from Iowa. Hello, Marty.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm enjoying your program.
Hey, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Could I have your voice for radio?
I don't know. My brother was in radio, but I've never been.
Man, you got a great radio voice.
Well, thank you very much.
Did you sing in the choir? Were you bass?
I have no vocal talents whatsoever. I'll sing in the car. How's that?
not during my program, Marty. You're not giving me full attention.
No.
All right.
No. Do you have the gist of what I'm calling about, or do I need
to hear? You've been letting this woman get to you for 20 years.
Well, she's very persistent, and it's not good. You know, family functions are not that pleasant, I guess, and she'll say and do things that just totally disregard the fact that my wife is married to me, and also that my wife, who is a stepmother to my children, helped me raise them, and just things like that. And it's, you know, I'd like to throttle her, and one or two times over the years I've let loose on her, but for the most part, made no difference.
And it probably made it worse.
I don't know. I'm just looking for some suggestions.
Sure. I'll give you suggestions. First thing we got to know is, how does your wife see her sister? In other words, I know, Marty, she's like that, but she's my sister, and I just kind of tolerate her. What's your wife's attitude about all this?
She sees and she understands, but again, a lot of this goes back to the childhood situation and the bond that these two sown following the death of their father. And so
the history.
That's strength.
You answered my point. She says, okay. I recognize she's obnoxious, but she is my sister. We have a history together, and I don't want to shut her off, right?
Pretty close, yeah. Keep going.
Okay. How obnoxious is she? Does she make snotty remarks? Is she opinionated? Or does she cuss you out? How obnoxious is she?
Yes. I will give you one example.
She cusses you out?
Last year, not in my presence.
That's okay then. Right.
But I'm aware that she has. But like last Mother's Day, we were all together for something, and her sister said, you know, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Too bad that my wife and her were the only non-mothers there. And I said, what? I said, she's a mother 99%. The only thing she didn't do was birth the children, but she's raised them, loved them, consoled them, everything. But that's the way that her sister kind of put it.
Now, that's no big deal. I don't see that as a big deal.
Me.
Well, that's the problem. Do you love your wife?
Very much.
Very much. Okay. You want to throw a very, very much in there?
as much as I can,
okay.
And I work at it every day.
All right. And I'm going to take you at your word. And are you grateful to your wife for all she has done to raise those children alongside you?
Oh, yes. I could
well, then, all right. Well, then, you got a great radio voice, so I'm going to figure you got a great heart to go with it. You sit down with your wife, and you tell her, honey, you know as well as I do how obnoxious I think your sister is. But for your sake, because she is your sister, and this is going to be one of the big shows of love I can give to you, I will tolerate her. I will even ignore most of what she says, and I will be reasonably pleasant to her where I can. For your sake. I don't want you to have to. You know as well as I do, Marty, at these gatherings, your wife's ill at ease. Because she knows that you're going to get back in the car, and you're going to go over all the junk that her sister did. Every time.
Pretty right on.
I know. I've been in the car with you. I'm in the back seat. So given that, you tell your wife, I love you so much, sweetheart, I'm going to tolerate your sister. I'm done. I'm done letting her get to me. She says things, and that's who she is, and I am not going to make you be uncomfortable because your husband has a real trouble with her, and then you have to hear it. I'm not going to do that to you anymore, sweetheart. You're way, way, way too important to me to put you in that situation. And I'm sorry for the times I've done it in the past. What do you think about that idea, Marty?
I could do that.
But if you can, I'm impressed.
I guess part of what bothers me, and I will do this, I will, is that then gives carte blanche to the continuation of the situation from the other side.
No. I knew you were going to say that. People always say that. If I tolerate someone, if I don't fight tit for tat, if I don't make remark for remark, well, they're just going to go on. Marty, you said she's been doing this for 20 years. Anything you've been doing up to this point ain't been working. And the time you laid her out verbally, that didn't do anything. So you're doing this for your wife. And whatever your sister-in-law runs with, if she happens to think to herself, oh, goody, he's just going to shut up and take it. So what? The only thing she has is obnoxiousness. Well, then you don't have to let that get to you. You can do
it,
man.
I will do it for my wife.
That's it. That's exactly why you're doing it. And for God, too. Throw him in there.
Believe me, I call on him a lot.
There you go.
So, all right. Hey, I appreciate it.
Marty, I got a book that might help you. It's called Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. And it deals a lot with dealing with people on an everyday basis that get to you. It's on my website. It's signed. Highly recommend it for you. It's going to go straight at stuff you're talking about. Thanks, my friend. I'll talk to you. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be back.
The EWTN home video highlight for May is the story of Father John Sullivan. A Protestant born into a life of privilege, he left everything to follow God's call to become a Catholic priest and serve the poor and afflicted. And the faithful were blessed with countless miracles. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or call 1-800-854-6316.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Now, on the Ave Maria radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for joining me here. Reminder again, Fredericksburg, Virginia, the Immaculate Heart of Mary Homeschooling Conference. You might know them as Seton Homeschooling. Some of you probably use that in Fredericksburg. And if you want information on that, you can simply go to their Immaculate Heart of Mary Conferences, National Conference. I'll be speaking four times to the kids, who is Jesus, making discipline work, to the parents, I think one on controlling your emotions. I have to ask them. What am I talking about? All righty. Well, I was gonna talk a little more about the situation with Marty, but let's see what Melissa is doing up there. Is she all done? Can I go to Joyce? Sure. Well, she doesn't have to. I'll just take her right now. I don't need to know anything more than she listens all the time. That's good enough for me. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you today?
I am fine, dear. You're looking for a free book?
Well, you know, when I listen to some of the other people on this, because I listen to the same channel, you know, Catholic radio all the time, and they will give them a free book. And I thought, well, that'd be a cool idea for you to do, because there seems like people that could use them and stuff. And I thought, well, what if you made a deal, like, on the radio, like, you know, give one book away a day or something like that.
Well, it's not a bad idea. I do have something like that on the website. We have what we call the triple play and the home run, which is if you order three or if you order four, you get a significant discount. We do have that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Now, what I'll do, I'll take your idea under advisement, Joyce. What I'll do, I'll start out slow. Rather than give away the whole book for free, I'll give away like page four and page nine. This week, we're giving away page four of The Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. Keep listening, and we're going to give you five. What do you think?
Because this is the page you need, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you want to just tease them a little bit. You don't want. Yeah. I don't know. That's a leap. Yeah. I'm surprised. See, you know what? See, Melissa, because she's so kind-hearted, she put you right through. Because she said, Joyce wants a free book. Here, get her on the air. And normally I'd have said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You getting on somebody there is going to make me look rotten because I'm not giving away free books because everybody else is. do you know why Tommy O gives away free books? Because she can't sell them. Because she can't sell them. Okay? One of her books is a million seller. There's a million in her mother's cellar. You know?
Because she gave them away.
She's giving them away. That's right. Most of her books are scratch and sniff anyway, you know?
All right. That's what people like.
Thank you, Joy. Yeah, well, I can't do scratch and sniff because in one of the books I talk about potty training. You don't want to scratch and sniff in the potty training section.
No, that wouldn't be good.
No.
I'm just here to help, you know.
I appreciate it, sweetheart. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I tell you what, politicking for freebies. That's not a bad idea. I'll think about it. Well, I got to run. I got to thank Melissa because she was call screaming in there, and she's so sensitive. She sets everybody through, and she just – I have to get her off the phone, though. Part of the problem here is getting calls is she just so enjoys talking to the people who call in. And Andrew's telling her, no. Melissa, please, Melissa, let Ray talk to him, okay? She's getting it. Her average phone time is down to 27.23 minutes. When she started, it was like 44.65 minutes anyway. I'm so glad that I got a chance to be with you. I appreciate it so very, very much. Anything else to say? Not really. I'll just listen to Andrew. Count me down to the music. There we go in about another 6 seconds. Tomorrow, look back Friday. So hopefully we'll talk to you then. Walk with God. You got kids. Hold them tightly by the hand. And always use Purell.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.